Welcome back, everybody, to Modern Business Podcast. Thank you all for another awesome episode today. Looking forward to getting down to the nitty-gritty. Of course, we are coming to you live from another makeshift podcast studio here in Salt Lake City.
I always love the different places that we record podcasts.
I know. We are very creative. We like to make it very difficult on our wonderful, wonderful sound engineer, Mr. Ben Kleber. But we try to make it, keep it interesting around here.
Although it's not as adventurous as 2019 when we were recording literally in cafes and diners and anywhere in between.
We're doing a lot better now, as our sound engineer has eloquently told us on numerous occasions, don't do that ever again, is how he puts it. But really looking forward to giving you one more podcast episode before the weekend. We were lucky enough to actually, you know, I happened to be texting this one of my new favorite people that I've become a little bit closer to in the past year or so, and she happened to tell me that she had moved to Utah. And so I was like, hey, well, we're going to be in Utah. She's, when are you leaving? Well, at that point, it was Saturday afternoon. Now it's Friday evening. But we were able to find a way to squeeze her in. So Woo! I'm really, really looking forward to talking to this next brand. You know, one thing that I will say before we dive in is that, and I haven't said this to her yet, but, you know, this brand is certainly on the up and coming. They've recently been invested in by quite a private equity firm. And so with a lot of experience in the franchise space for many brands and actually many people who have been on this podcast before. So looking forward to having on the president of Zoom Drain. We have Ellen Rohr on with us. Hi, Ellen. How you doing?
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Welcome to Utah.
Thank you very much.
I'm a Utahn.
I know, finally.
Yeah.
And I know that you're back again. You were able to be lured from the Midwest, huh?
Yes. Well, my son and his wife and their baby moved here, and so I wasn't going to miss that.
You want to be around the grandchildren.
I do. And our headquarters is in Philadelphia, and it's so easy to get to anywhere in the world from Salt Lake City. And it's a buzz of industry, the Beehive State.
We were seeing it last night. I mean, for the Jazz game last night, it was alive
Go
in Salt
Jazz.
Lake City. It was one of the few times I think anybody can say that partying in Salt Lake City was very fun. So we were very, very happy to do that. And, you know, we're looking forward to having you on. You know, I think that for those that don't know about the brand, you know, I'd love to start with, you know, a bit about what it is. And then in addition to that, about the founding story and how you actually got involved in the brand as well.
Well, once upon a time I had, I married a plumber. That's really how I learned about this industry. And when I was growing up in Salt Lake City, my dad was not handy. We called people. And I just took for granted all these basic services. Like when you flushed a toilet, that somehow a miracle, it just disappeared. It never dawned on me what actually happened. And then I married my husband, Hot Rod, the plumber. And in fact, the Hot Rod and Yox plumbing trucks still run in Park City, Utah.
Wow.
We sold the company to our team members 25 years ago, and I couldn't be more proud of that. And we kind of went middle-aged crazy and started some other adventures. But, you know, this is how I got introduced to the industry is I hung out with my husband and his cool friends, and I realized, you know, what plumbers do, keep good water from bad water, preserve the health of the nation, and electricians wrangle lightning. HVAC guys create weather. Like, I don't have any of these skills. So it was dazzling to me. And I've never lost my appreciation for what people who do dirty jobs do. And of course, through the COVID experience, aren't we all a lot more appreciative of essential workers?
Yes, we are.
So I know that's going to come up in our conversation, of course, today. But, you know, that's how I got turned on to the value of what the salt of the earth people do, tradespeople do. And when I started with my husband, we didn't make any money. We worked around the clock. We fought all the time. We didn't have the business systems that we needed. Luckily, I found some really great mentors who taught me this. And if you're listening to the podcast, I usually like to remind people, you've got to charge more than it costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're calling your competitors and asking how much they charge and trying to base your model on what's happening in our industry, well, it's really a poverty-based industry. Most tradespeople don't do very well. They get hurt. They don't have a lot of retirement. So the business acumen was lacking in the industry. I was fortunate to find people who taught me a thing or two. And as we turned our company around, I started to get an appreciation for, wow, we could grow this thing. We could really develop. Now, by the way, my husband had none of these ambitions, so he and I don't work together anymore. It's probably why we're still married.
One of the only people that I know are still married that work together are, you know, my lovely parents. And I have literally no idea how to do it every day. Sitting there, I'm just like, I'm never doing this ever.
Yeah, well, that's a little tricky, but I'm sensitive to that. So just, you know, all your life experiences, you guys are kids, but all your life experiences just build upon one another, and it helps you create a full life. And certainly that experience I've been able to bring to our latest franchise. So I worked in the industry. We sold our company because we had different visions of what we wanted. So I'm also very much someone who's going to ask a mom-pop shop, is this what you want? Do you want to work together? Would you rather do something else? You know, what do you want out of life is a question worth asking. And so as we came to terms with what we wanted to do, I realized I really had an itch to scratch to grow a big business, to scale it, to get something that could create wealth for the people involved, job opportunities and careers, not just going to work and punching a clock every day. So I really became obsessed with the business side of the business because, you know, I can't even pick up a channel lock. I have zero technical skills.
I wish I even knew what that was.
Yeah, there you go. I'm showing off now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was the business side. It was relating as the wife of a plumber, the mom-pop aspect of it that really motivated me to learn more about it. And then I got turned on to how good it can be, that there's wealth to be made, that there's careers that can happen. And I've just been sold ever since. So this has been my path. I did have a franchising experience prior to this. Mm-hmm. I worked with Benjamin Franklin, the Punctual Plumber, and I learned a lot. It was a really positive and yet brutal experience. You know, I made a lot of mistakes. I figured some things out. And when I left that organization, I talked to a couple of my best friends who were in the industry, and I said, I'd like to do franchising again, but could we take it a little slower? Could we get our feet underneath us? Could we get the operations really dialed in? And as we are poised right now with Zoom Drain to really take off and grow, I'm so glad we did. So I feel one of the things that makes my concept unique and fantastic is the solid operational base that we have. The manuals, the systems, the automation, the relationships with mm-hmm. vendors like Scorpion and Service Titan and other people, our truck manufacturers, Spartan. The vendors have been, I know that you're a vendor guy, but the vendor relationships, the relationships we have with our professional teams have really provided a base of support that put us in a nice position now to start ramping up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that I love about that is franchising done right. It's really the three stools. It's you, the franchisor, providing everything that you just mentioned. It's the suppliers adding that extra layer, and then it's the franchisees bringing the magic to the local market. And that's the three-legged wheel that creates the momentum that you guys are experiencing right now as you just took some growth capital and you're taking over the world, and that's awesome.
We're taking over the world.
One of the things that you said is you kind of just laid the background and called it what it is. It's like, this is, I don't know the exact phrase that you use, not a poor man's whatever, but basically, and then the need to kind of professionalize and bring the business acumen and really buttoning things up. And I think you've already alluded a little bit to kind of the differentiator that you guys have, but just talk about what makes you unique and different. And that can be, you know, your brand amongst the market of other brands, but also in the local markets, you're competing with, you know, a ton of different local plumbers that it's just themselves chucking a truck, right? And so talk about the differentiating factors kind of in both realms.
Oh, there's so much in your question that we can play with. So, you know, what makes us different and interesting? We started this concept with the idea, our mission statement at Zoom Franchise Company is to demonstrate the best that business can be. And the word best, let's explore that a little bit. Best doesn't mean perfect, but it means better than anyone else. And best doesn't mean the best that I can do. It means the best that can be done. That's a Gary Keller quote. Mm-hmm. And I just absolutely love that. So how can
Gary
we...
Gary Keller, the start with why? Or not start
no,
with
no,
why,
that's
but
Simon
the
Sinek.
The one thing. The one
the
thing.
The one thing. And yeah, I love both of them. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
And so that idea of... one thing too is as a consultant, as a business owner, as a someone who's been in the industry for a long time, if I'm so smart, why don't I do it? Was really a motivator for me, like having consulted with a lot of companies. I thought, why don't I just do one? Mm-hmm. So I approached another great a friend of mine and an awesome consultant, terrific operations man, Al Levy. He was my friend and colleague. And then one of our clients is a fellow named Jim Crinity. And he called us just as Al and I were talking about, maybe we should franchise. And what if we did it this way? And I was saying to Al, I don't want to work too hard on this. I want to magnetize. One of our clients is going to have the same idea. You wait. I tell you what, Al's phone blew up. It's Jim Crinity. And he's saying, you know what, Al? I think maybe I could franchise Zoom Drain. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there you go. So it just from the beginning felt very serendipitous, really easy. I trust my partners with my life. I love them so much. It's such a nice feeling to have at the executive level. We have fun. We are hold each other accountable and they fill in the gaps. So we have a hashtag better together. Mm. You know, I got a lot of energy. I'm a lot of fun. I have a short attention span and Jim Crinity is grounded, procedural, you know, operational. And so, you know, as you work in a team, I'm a good team player.
Sounds familiar.
Are you guys like that? Okay. Let me guess. Are you you're the rock?
No,
other
no,
way.
Oh. It's the exact opposite.
I'm an eccentric rock, but I am a rock. It's just kind of how it goes.
He's the rock on which you're built.
Short attention span. That's how that works.
So, well, I like that dynamic. And so in typical Al, as Jim and Al and I are getting together, typical Al, he says, well, we're not ready yet. Let's get the model center rock solid. So we spent a couple of years working on the systems, getting them documented, deciding how we're going to disseminate it, all that stuff that is going to, we know the thought we had is unless it's red hot here, it's going to be lukewarm there, right? That you have to get or we wanted to get our headquarters really, really tight so that we could live it, prove it, and then sell that concept with confidence. So we're at 20 locations right now. Our mission is to demonstrate the best that business can be in every aspect of it. And we fail every day, but we fail forward. And we're really excited about what we've developed. Our focus, our promise to our customers is fast, focused, fixed. Fast, we'll get there before anybody else. There's not a lot of loyalty if you've got a clogged drain. Right. I mean, they want to use you, but if you can't help, you got to be there fast. And so we streamline our systems to be there. We're focused. All we do is drains. Now, this is important because there are some great drain cleaners in our space who also do plumbing and other things. We are the drain and sewer experts. So our number one lead source are plumbers. Mm. Plumbers who even say they do drains, but they don't really like it. Their plumbers don't like it. Their trucks may not be geared up. They're certainly not geared up like mine. So when you talk about competition, we are a very collaborative player. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of problems out there. And we fill that niche for some would perceive as our competition, but we see them as our collaborators.
That's just so interesting because that happens exactly in my world and the way that we work with the different agencies and things like that. That's really fascinating. I didn't cut you off, did I?
No, I'm glad you're relating to that because it's pretty sexy, right?
Yeah, but it's better to be the best at what you do than try to be the jack of all trades. And there's something to be said. And it's interesting that going back to the mission statement, being the best is the part of it. I mean, that's where it stems from, but...
Yeah, you know, and I'm curious to hear. I would imagine that the operational excellence that you guys are operating under is certainly part of it. But you know, I'd also say that it isn't always people. There is technology to play a role, and I know that you mentioned a couple aspects of this. But you know, from a proprietary system standpoint, you know, when you have a franchisee that's potentially looking at your concept, and they're kind of taking a peek at it, and they're thinking, well, what do you guys have that is going to make my life easier? You know, is there any type of technology that you have that allows your franchisees to have an edge over other mom and pops or something like that they may come across?
Yes. So when our promise or our promise to our customers is that we're going to be fast, we're focused, we just do sewer and drain, so we're going to be the best, mm-hmm. and we're going to get it fixed, even if that means involving other people, but we're going to stick with you and not abandon you. Our promise or our commitment to our franchisees are solving the three problems that many, many business owners face. This is really simple and basic, but this is what obsesses us every day. We're committed to calls, developing techs, and trucks. So every day in our industry, there's this juggling act. Mm-hmm. Got enough calls? Got enough techs? Who's here today? Are they trained? Are they skilled? What about the truck? The trucks are a critical piece of this. So systematically, and with the help of our software and our vendors, what we're doing is taking the thinking out of these processes. So to automate our marketing, you know, we have, we call it the 40 steps program. You know that to reach a customer, you know this in PR, mm-hmm. maybe five, maybe seven reaches. We have 40 reaches to our primary targeted market for referral partners as we help a franchisee get started. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you get those relationships cranked up? It's systematically, automatically, from the postcards to the social media, to the emails, to the visits, to the gifts, to the podcasts that mm-hmm. you send to their email box, right? That mm-hmm. whole communication. So the marketing is, we're moving in that direction. Take the hard work out of that for franchisees. And then with techs, one of the advantages of focusing on drains is that there's fewer tasks. So it's simpler to get a never ever up and running. Some concepts are dependent on magnetizing talent from other companies. Mm-hmm. We welcome people with skill sets, we'll honor them in our transparent pay scale. Our growth plan is taking never evers and teaching them a career, not just a job. You don't have to go to college. You can make a lot of money. You don't have to pay for your training. What a catch-22 it is mm-hmm. to put an ad in that says 3 years experience, 5 years experience, and the kid who's looking for a job just doesn't have it. How does he get it to apply for the job? We will take full responsibility for training your techs. We're just working on a tech program now where once a month, we start a class, you send your guy, he stays with us for a month, and we jumpstart his training. Now, this is a skill. My husband, the plumber, is kind of sitting on my shoulder right now. To become great at, to develop mastery at any skill mm-hmm. takes experience. But what we can do is we can get someone with no experience 75%, 80% really good. And if the option is just go elbow to elbow with someone and learn on the job, it takes 20 years. It takes too long. Mm-hmm. So that's our commitment, is to make sure. Is that for me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see what they got. And just answer it.
You got to answer
tell
it.
Tell them that we'll be out in 30 minutes.
Oh, no. Are you supposed to be checking out?
We got to late check out. So we didn't mention, we're not going to edit this out. We didn't mention that we're actually in our hotel room. We're here in the, got a little, no, little living room area. But no, I think that's amazing, because that's also a challenge. Like across all different sectors, staffing mm-hmm. is one of the biggest problems, because you can't go service if you don't have techs to go roll out in the trucks to go do the jobs. And so that in and of itself, just the way that you're approaching that training and you're providing opportunities in the local markets, that's a big thing. And so what is that? It's a you just have a robust training system built out.
It gets better every day. So we have a learning management software, Trainual. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not unique, but it's just moving what we have already developed in Google Drive in terms of all of our blocks of training, our checklists. We deliver training in as many different learning styles as we can, including we have training centers. And while we have one at the headquarters, we also encourage, and as part of our build out with our franchisee shops, you're going to use the plumbing you already have. Did you notice that your faucet is broken?
I did.
Yeah. I already did a little something to it. Yeah.
So Zach, what do we got here? I may or may not have played a part in that, just to let you know.
You can train on what you have, but you're going to want to develop a training center. It is important for someone who doesn't know how to do this to find a safe place to actually practice the skills.
How did she find that? That's hilarious.
I just, already pulled it apart.
Very observant woman. I don't know what else you want me to say.
I was just getting a drink.
It's kind of impressive, honestly.
So, but you know, we're going to help, and we're going to help our franchisees develop a training center. We have the curriculum, mm-hmm. and we also reinforce that training in Philadelphia, which is where our headquarters is. So HQ does training every day. And then our franchisees, we make sure that they are set up to train consistently, you know, several times a week at their own shops, and then to develop a training center so that they can magnetize. You know, if you want to solve that problem of where do we find great people who want to come and stay and work for us, people don't fight training. Mm-hmm. They want to be successful. You know, I have never had a team member say, oh, please don't train me. Please don't teach me how to do this job. Right? They want to be successful. So it's such a win-win. And it seems to be the thing that most people in the trades, in the home services industry complain about. And we're just not whiners. We're just, okay, what? How do we fix that? So yeah. That's one of our commitments. And then the third one is the trucks. And the trucks is, that is, it's the vendor relationship. The truck has to have, it's, you know, a lot of money. It's a cash register. It's got all these tools in it. It's completely focused on drain cleaning. It matches the manuals. Mm-hmm. So when the manuals reference the trucks, it's the same language. So it's all by design so that someone can get up and running and be successful clearing and cleaning drains and jetting in short order.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it?
Yep.
It kind of fits all together with a nice little bow.
You're so sweet to appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, it just, it turns me on. And so those are our commitments to make sure every day that's the mundane work of leadership is projects, is getting stuff done, is checking stuff off the list. And even with that, we have a systematic approach to everything. My partner, Jim, is a former Air Force officer. So, you know, he likes things tight and right, and he's really tidy. And that's really had an impact on our company. And you know what's cool about our partners? Now we have a really awesome venture, it's a private family fund equity group, and I love them, and they are very much aligned with our philosophy. You know, it's just already like, what can we do to facilitate what you guys have started, what you guys have in mind? And so now that's why we see ourselves really being able to escalate and develop even faster.
Being strapped to a rocket ship.
A rocket ship. I love it. So speaking of the trucks, because that was the third component, and those trucks go out and they park in front of the homes and they do work. We just lived through this little thing they called the pandemic, and a lot of people were stuck in their homes. Mm-hmm. And that created challenges, obviously, but it also created opportunities. And so how did you capitalize on the opportunities that it created because folks need services in their homes? But how did you capitalize on what happened, and how have you emerged?
Well, shout out to the IFA, who did a very proactive job of keeping the franchisees.
Big time.
I mean, it was so cool.
Give them some applause.
Yeah. I mean.
Nice. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
100. Because, you know, we were all like, oh, what do we do? But just to hear what was happening on a global level, to find out what support was available with PPP, and then to disseminate that information to our franchisees saved us a lot of time and helped provide a lot of credibility. You know, that I was being backed up by the information that I got from the IFA, and that was huge. So we decided early on, hey, we deal with pathogens already. We deal with very toxic material, right? Mm-hmm. It's waste. And so we've always been a very safety-focused organization. So it was really a matter of, like, escalating what we already did. I'm sure you understand that at first the shortages on masks and hand sanitizer put everybody into creative mode to make sure we got what we needed. And as a community, if someone had extra, we passed it along. And we also helped our competitors and did what we could to get through those early days of supply challenges. But it was apparent to us that, you know, we were guys who were going to go in, you know, when the firefighters go in. The drain cleaners go into a situation. And so if there was a situation where someone had COVID, or if we're going to a hospital, there was another level of safety that we provided and communicated to our team. For us, it was fortunate that it was just an escalation of already dealing with toxic substances, you know, with the disease-borne, you know, septage
Yes.
Bear's disease. Is that the right way to say that?
I think so.
Yeah. And so, no, I've been super proud of my team. You know, the guys went in when others ran away, and it was just, it was really an impressive moment. I'm super proud of them. So we would have, like, as an industry, there were moments with a couple franchisees, not that the work wasn't there, because the work's always there. People yeah. gotta poop. Flushable wipes are not flushable. Do you guys know this? What?
I did not know
this. Oh, come on. Now I saved you.
A lot
you.
Of people were using hand wipes and all
and
of
flushing
it.
Them. Yeah. And they even say flushable.
So is that the hot opportunity? Tip. So did you see, did you get any ancillary opportunities out of the tougher times?
The you know, where people pooped shifted. So mm-hmm. they went home. And yeah. so, you know, and there's kids and there's wipes. And so we had a lot more residential calls,
yep.
you know, and some of it shifted away from commercial. Note too, when a restaurant stops, the grease trap is there and the grease only gets harder. So yep. as we're reopening, tons of opportunity. And because we focus, we call it south of the drain, because our opportunities are south of the drain, the plumbers will refer work to us. We have, you know, five basic categories of target markets where we help people find drain cleaners. And those plumber referrals are certainly top of our list. But as they make referrals, you know, if restaurants want to reopen, if the hotel wants to reopen, they have to go through and then clean those systems. So it's been really a great time for us. The only thing that tripped us up is if a team member got sick or got yeah. exposed and we lost, you know, some availability. And luckily we were not very hard hit, not as hard hit as some other industries. So I'm grateful, girl.
I would imagine not. And, yeah. and you know, I'm curious, just piggybacking off of that, you know, I definitely think that home services has become a lot more professionalized in the past, you know, 5 to 7 years. I think it has changed quite a bit, I'm sure, since you got into the home service franchise space. I'm curious, just based off of what you guys are seeing in terms of proper staffing and in terms of, you know, knowing where to be and when and what territories are more attractive versus not, you know, is there any type of, you know, data or AI that you guys have behind what you do each and every day to understand how to run your business or for your franchisees to run their businesses more efficiently?
Well, one of the very cool things of partnering up with our investors mm-hmm. is that we have become so data-driven.
Yeah.
You know, I
have to be.
From, you know, just my personality, I'm like, does that sound good? Let's do it. So it's really it's really been an exciting adventure to dive in like one level deeper to the KPIs and start to see some trends, certainly with marketing, absolutely with the financials and where the work is coming from. So, and my partner, Jim, digs this so much. So I'm delighted at the direction we're moving there. What you're finding is, I would say that overall, if you show up clean, sober, on time, dressed right, and use a checklist, you can get the job. You can get the job. If you show up, mm-hmm. you can get the job. Now, I'm just moved to Salt Lake and just getting somebody to show up. I just moved in. I got all sorts of remodeling projects. They're busy, right? Just show up and you get the job. Show up clean, sober, on time, dressed right, use a checklist, and you're gonna crush your competition. So there's that. Or you're going to get the job if your guy gets there fast enough, if he's the first one there. What I'm finding across the trades and the industry is that the big players are super sophisticated now. Mm-hmm. So one thing about partnering up, about being better together, about joining a group like Zoom Drain is you're not going up against some of those big guns by yourself anymore, because they're coming to markets and spending a lot of money. So the guys at the very top of the pyramid in terms of marketing spend, operational excellence, the people who are really crushing it in the trades, I am so happy to see that level of excellence in our industry. And it does give you a competitive advantage to at least be able to partner up and play at that level. It's a tough go to be a one-man band.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's what you want, this is the thing that I like to just remind you guys. I'm feeling motherly because mm-hmm. you guys, my son is about your age. The premier question is, what do you want?
Yep.
You know, what do you want? Out of life, out of relationships, out of business. And mm-hmm. I trust that the answer to that question that you discover is a good path for you. So you're going to look at things like franchise opportunities, partnerships, going all by yourself in a truck if that's what you really, really want. There's success to be found in all those models. So when you look at a franchise, when you look at partnering up, align it with what I want. I have had people say before, well, I belong to this group and this group doesn't think I should do that. That's not a reason to not do what you want, right? And there are people who are very persuasive that you're going to run into in your life. So it's important to just take some quiet time, go for a walk, go out to the desert in Utah, think about it. And then, you know, find someone who has a philosophy that matches yours, who has a system that seems to, that might be able to shortcut quantum leap, wormhole the path between where you are and what you want. That's, you know, that may be appropriate. And if that's the case, then we can talk about Zoom Drain. But, you know, we're going to, in a good franchisee-franchisor like relationship, we're looking for people who are going to be a good fit, who are going to fit into our culture, who are going to share some similar values. With the group we have 20 locations right now. I love them. I love them. Can you hear them? Their energy is on them.
I bet they love you too. Yeah. The energy. They're coming.
Could you either hear the vibration?
We heard them marching.
They're texting.
They're marching.
They're texting and calling because, by the way, be sure you subscribe to our VIP text line.
Oh.
Yeah, we're giving away $250. Go to the website, modernbusiness.com. This is for the audience.
Oh.
We're doing a little giveaway.
I wasn't going to just text right now.
You could.
Dear listener.
Piggybacking off of what you just said, I think that's super powerful. What I find, you know, when people, you mentioned kind of go away, get alone, and realize, like, ask the questions. What do you want? What do you really want? It's like you ask someone why, you have to dig the layers deep. Mm-hmm. I like to ask why three times.
Are you a Simon Sinek fan?
I'm a big Simon Sinek fan.
I love it.
When he was at IFA and I couldn't host him. Wanted to host him on the podcast. But I talked to his group and they gave me someone else that we were going to host outside of the conference on a call. I wanted to sit down with, like, when Gary Vaynerchuk came, we hosted him on our podcast. He was great.
Gary Vee? That's awesome. Yeah,
if you just get down to just what really matters to you, and obviously a lot of folks listening to this resonate with what you're saying, and you're attracting the right people. And so I love what you guys are up to. Kind of switching gears on the topic, outside of the topic of paid ads, it sounds like you have the 40 touch point marketing, you know, marketing plan, automating things, making it easier. I like what you said about removing the thinking, because that's really important. You have a playbook outside of paid ads. How important, you also mentioned social media, but how important is social and reputation? It's kind of everything when people are searching, but what are you doing, anything innovative? Or are you just executing the obvious X and O's? What are you doing on social, and what kind of attention are you putting on that and reputation?
It's interesting because I have a lot of confidence about operations, about this industry. I know a lot. I like to, you know, if I do share advice, I'll say, tell me if I'm wrong, right? I get that. I wouldn't share it with you if this isn't a tried and true approach. But marketing is so dynamic. Anyone who thinks they have it dialed in is going to get humbled.
Or tomorrow it changes.
Because it changes. And you know, I come from Yellow Pages, where we would spend, you know, $1 million a year at some companies I worked with, or, you know, more on an ad that you have one shot at, and that's your marketing for the year. And now
I would call maybe those days that I wasn't a marketer because I'm younger.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the good old days, because you didn't have to worry about 1,000 different channels and all the different things. You just...
And talk about humbling. At the time, I thought it could never be worse than this, that you put all that time, money, and energy in a decision that is now written in stone for the year. It was the worst thing. And now this is so much more challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, I wish that you just had to come up with one reasonably good ad. Right. And so I am not the world's best marketer. And in a way that, how do we demonstrate the best that business can be? We are committing to marketing with the crew of marketers and with team members and vendors who are helping us put these pieces together. And here's my advice. One, you got to check it all the time, even including is your phone ringing. We check the phones, and I think at Philly we have 121 phone lines that come in twice a day to make sure that they haven't fallen off. So from the basics all the way to whatever AI models you were using to try and figure out Google LSA, which changes the second you think you have it dialed in. Reputation management, you know, word of mouth is everything, and it spreads so much faster now. I would say the one thing that I see across the board, can I just give like a little motherly advice?
Yeah, sure.
If someone is bashing you online, tell me if I'm wrong, you're the PR guy.
I am the PR guy.
Okay, I want you to grade my advice.
Fair enough.
You can do that. Okay, if someone's bashing you online, here's what I would reply. Yikes, I'm going to call you right now. And leave that. I do see it because it's so personal that people get into the, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it'll be on there. So whoever else sees it sees, yikes, I'm going to call you right now. And they go, oh, good for you, honey. At least you reached out to this person. And that's what we try and do. You know, we have a program called the Customer Recovery Program. It started a long time ago when I was working with clients and I realized I'm going to give you a little context. So when you go to an event, you go to the IFA and you hear someone say, my techs always do this, or my people always, I'm thinking, you don't know what they're doing. We put them in trucks. They're driving away. You don't see them all day. You might not see them all week. Like we really don't know what's happening out there. And yet we're building that business on our service technician and our customer having a great day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't even know what's happening right there. So as I started to, consider working in a bigger organization, there's so many ways that you can get hurt or kill somebody in my industry. It is a really dangerous industry. We dig trenches. We use cables and jets. And, this stuff is dangerous. We drive trucks. And those trucks could hurt someone. So, I became really concerned about, what if the worst happened? Not only would that situation be terrible, but what are the
repercussions?
Yes, that's the word. For the rest of the empire, what do we do? And then you watch a sting operation on TV and they show the service tech with his hoodie up like the Unabomber and he's yelling at the, he just doesn't know better. And he may not have even done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So what we developed as a result of kind of all that unpacking was a program where we empower our team members to resolve customer conflicts themselves right away as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach them from mild to wild with role play and practice what they are free and clear to do. Suppose you're walking away from the customer's home and she hated you. You didn't make a sale. You're going to collect $79? Don't do that. Say you're sorry. Do a Racy's. And leave now versus take the $79 and have her put it all over Facebook. So I'm getting back to your reputation management, right? So, if you get someone has a bad experience with you, they can communicate online. But what if we caught those things even earlier? If in the moment the frontline people had the authority to resolve the problems, won't that be better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talk to a lot of people on this topic. It's an element of an overall scheme of the different things that my supplier company, Ralio, does. And this is the first time that I've ever heard someone dig deep behind that, because that actually is one of the crux, one of the issues is not having the authority or feeling that the employee isn't empowered to preempt that issue in the first place. That's deep. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm glad you're relating to that. And part of it is too, once upon a time when I was a kid, I had a lot of jobs. And I had a lot of jobs where I had no authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't build any love for, that's why I had a lot of jobs. Didn't build any loyalty in me. So I relate to, I've had great bosses and I've had bad bosses. And, what can we do to help people be successful? Even there's a lot of wealth in our industry. Franchises are on fire right now. There's great investments. I'm so happy about the relationships that we've developed. And one of the things I like to bring to the conversation is, lest we forget that there is this guy and this customer, and that service tech has to have a successful experience that customer that day for any of us to make any money.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get lost right? When you start talking about units and numbers and that, oh, we can't find good people. Yeah, you can. You can find good people. And it's going to take one little buckaroo and customer at a time having a good day. That's how you build any empire.
That's why the last mile is so important.
Yeah. The last mile is the question that you posed before. How do you make sure? So that last mile, and I'm saying this with humility. This is not, I can't promise that my team is doing this every day, but we talk about it and we know about it. And then customer recovery is defense. Offense is all that training you do to make sure that you are doing it at the right time, that they know what they're allowed to do, what they're supposed to do, the manuals. We try and take so much out of it. Like we have drain standards that are part of our program. We've even gotten them as part of curriculum to get licensing for drain cleaning journeyman licenses where there haven't been before. We just had this happen in Pennsylvania. We're pretty proud of it, really proud of it. But just to create a level of expertise within our industry that allows someone to have a really nice paying job and career, but then know exactly what they're supposed to do. Like if the drain is collapsed or shifted, there are standards that then guide the service techs as to how they can communicate with the customers to what the right decision to be made there, as opposed to guessing or winging it, which we don't like to do.
Yeah. No, certainly not. And you know, I'm curious just hearing all of this, because it's so clear that you guys are very differentiated from a lot of others, especially in franchising. And I think that, you know, you guys have this new investment group, and they're really, and one of the things, you know, from time to time I read press releases because that is part of my job. And so I am kind of curious to hear, you know, franchise development was a really large part of what you guys were trying to do. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, why would somebody want to invest in your brand now? Do you think that is it the pandemic that is part of it? Is it the systemization of what you guys have, the differentiators? Is it all of it? Or if there's something you haven't talked about yet? Just curious.
Well, I think what we did, and I think now it looks like a good idea, was we focused on operations first. So as we brought our franchise in one at a time, we really focused on them, committed to them, and it has created a culture. I love our team so much. We call ourselves the Zoom Drain Empire. And we are there for each other, really good communication, a lot of participation. And what that has allowed me to do right now, Zach, is turn the focus on FranDev, which we really have not been great at. I think in some ways I've almost been anti-salesperson. Like, I don't know, man, let's make sure you're ready, right? That this is going to be a unique opportunity. And I didn't want to bring anyone into the empire who wasn't going to be a good fit. But recently, and this is absolutely as a result of the investment energy, the brain trust, it's not just having investors, it's who they know. Right? It's the people they know, the people they've turned me on to. I've become a student of Fran development lately, and you're going to see a lot of progress in that arena from us as far as structuring the process to take someone through, to qualify them, to make sure we get to know each other, and then to make sure that that person is going to be a good fit. They're going into it with their eyes wide open, that we can deliver on the promises that we've made. So that's an area I think where you're going to see a lot of advancement and sophistication coming from us. We are procedural people, you know, to set these expectations and codify it, make sure that we're taking people through a process that makes sense to them, and that they can come to a reasonable decision. So that I'm excited about that part. That's kind of my new job.
Yeah.
You know, and on the press release, I went from one title to the next, but my focus right now is on FranDev, and I'm realizing I got my white belt on. I'm really learning how to do this right, and I'm committed to that.
I like it.
I think as we move to close, we want to be respectful for your time. Well, they're
going
I think they're calling to kick us out. We got a late checkout for the people that aren't here. What is almost 3:00 p.m. and we were supposed to be out by 1.
All right. But, so this is the curly moment. Just
this is one of my very favorite things to do, because we'll move to close, but then we may talk for 25 more minutes.
Okay, good. All right.
You just alluded to kind of a major initiative of yours. That's what you just said. Any other major initiatives for the rest of 2021 and beyond? Any major things that you're excited about? A lot of people in franchising use EOS and they have their rocks, but what major initiatives for you guys?
It's going to come down to calls, texts, and tracks. So there will be more sophisticated marketing in terms of how much can we put on our plate so it makes it easier for the franchisees to do the things that they need to do. Like, you're going to still have to stop by and say hello to your plumbing referral partner. If we can, and we do, set the stage so that the postcards have gone out, the emails have gone out, we started to build the relationship by just creating a presence in the market area, there are some pieces that you're still going to have to do. We want to do as much as we can to support that. So growing calls is one initiative. When it comes to text, I don't think our franchisees even know this yet. So am I going to scoop?
Let's do a scoop.
This is a scoop-a-loop.
Let's do a scoop. What sound effect? I'm like over here trying to figure out which sound effect I should play. I don't know that I have one.
Well,
oh, no. That's it.
Bam!
All right.
That's like a breaking news. Okay, go for it.
All right, so this is a scoop-a-loop. So my team's going to be going, wait, what? You just announced it? We are developing at headquarters. So we have an HQ, which is a working shop that's tracking about 12 million right now in Philadelphia. So what's so cool about that is that we test drive things there and then disseminate them throughout the empire. You can come, we'll push it out. But the program that we're releasing is going to be this 1 month tech like summer camp, but it's gonna go all year, that you would send a tech at the beginning of the month and have them stay for a month to go through some really intensive focused training with the crew that's already in Philadelphia.
Huh, very cool.
So that's an option. Now, is that curriculum also available for you to supplement and teach back home? Oh yeah, it's all there. But this would be just like your tech can go with a very systematic, I like the word codified.
It's tech sleepaway camp, basically.
And doesn't that sound fun?
It kind of does.
Yeah. You know, my favorite thing to do in my career is to ride along. Here's another tip. To franchises, to business owners, to an owner, if you haven't just strapped yourself in shotgun and ridden along, I don't mean drop by and surprise them on the job, you know, like the police or something. You know, just get in the truck and say, hey, listen, I'm going to ride along with you. So let's not make it a disciplinary moment. Would you just make sure it's clean? You got your booties, you got everything, because I'm coming. So give them a heads up. And here's what I say. I learned this from a friend once upon a time. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have an adventure today. I might learn something. And you've got my ear. So if there's something you think I should know, that's why I'm here. So you ride shotgun and you watch these guys. First off, you're going to see there's like pictures of their family maybe in the truck. Mm. And you can learn about their motivations and maybe what goals they have. And then something weird happens. The cat gets out. Or, you know, something goes goofy on the job. Or it is usually an adventure, you know, out there in the world with customers and pipes and pumps and sewage. Something happens that kind of enhances the relationship. And then you've got an ear. Like, what I ask questions like, what do we ask you to do that makes zero sense?
Mm.
And they'll tell you, and it's usually my initiative. You know, what do you, if you were me, what would you want me to know? I can't do what you do, but I can facilitate things. I can get it on our top projects list. I can energize stuff. What do I need to know today? And that has been, you know, that's why I've learned things, is that I've been willing to just ride shotgun and listen. In the office, I call it a side-by-side. Just sit with them all day. And they're a little nervous at first, right? You know, I will say too, when you ride along, this is what will happen. If you haven't ridden along, ride along with one of your guys. And that guy or gal is going to go home and tell their partner, guess what? What? I rode along with the boss today. Why? Are you in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only time you get their attention.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's that important that they will tell their partner, this is what I did today. That's the kind of impact that you guys could have. Every ride along I've ever gone on, I now have a heightened relationship with that person.
Yep.
Spending 3 hours with them.
Yep.
You know, and then I learn something, we put on the projects list, we energize it, and then they start to believe that they really can have an impact on things, pushing things down the org chart. And then if they hate the uniforms, who are we going to tap to run the uniform project? That guy.
Yeah.
Right? And then push it down the org chart. This is how we're going to expand. Am I starting to ramble?
No.
Okay. I think this is
no, it's because like, you're giving context into what a lot of people say. A lot of people say, you know, get down into the dirt.
It's almost like you're doing undercover boss without actually like being told to do it because it's on TV. You're
right.
Just doing it just to do it.
But that's also helping build the culture, whether that's you're the franchisee, you're the boss, you're the marketer, or you as the overall brand president are going and doing that as well. And it helps. It's like, this is an organization that cares. It fosters what you want to create. And then the best ideas boil up from the front lines.
They do. And I blow it all the time too. You know, I wish I could remember every name of every person who works with us in the organization. And you fail on this stuff. That's a fail. And so you just have to find ways that you can put emotional bank deposits together, right? So that's a little loving advice.
I'm a little curious.
For Mama Zoom.
You mentioned in the 40 marketing.
40 steps.
40 steps. Anything else? Like how much, like the postcards and the touch points. So you have kind of all these templates boiled down. Is that kind of within the CRM that you have, and there's a mixture of automated things versus things that the franchisees can pick to go deploy?
Yes. And some of my franchisees are really good and absolutely pushing the franchisor. Like, did you see what Seattle did? We should do more of that. You know, so.
Yeah. She said that.
So we, you know.
What else is in that stack?
You want to if you're a franchisee, you want to supplement with relevant, real social media posts. But at least the franchisor can be pushing out branded content and get the ball rolling and remind you.
That's
that you
literally
should be doing.
My universe.
Is it
hyper local content? Because there's no, you can have this. This is what Gary Vaynerchuk told me, and we do some work with their group that does mid market work. But
well, now I have lots of questions.
What he said. Was
who's running the podcast now?
I could totally see her just taking over. And this is my episode. Maybe next time we'll do that.
Well, I have a podcast. I'll invite you guys on my podcast.
We have to learn about what that is. But
okay.
Let me get this out before I lose my train of thought.
Okay.
But the vanilla, I will lose my train of thought. The vanilla corporate content, it's like you need that, but you have to supplement it with the authentic, real, local stuff that can only happen in the local level. And how do you do that? And how do you scale that? And so anyways, it's a tremendous opportunity, especially as we saw in the pandemic, the numbers have increased like significantly in terms of how much time people are spending on local, and people engage if you have the right strategy and it's authentic and local. But anyways, the name of your podcast is what?
Well, I write for PHC News Magazine. I'm sure you guys subscribe. Plumbing Hydronic Contractor Magazine.
I knew what that was for one reason and one reason only, because she told me like 3 months ago. That's all.
And we have a podcast. It's called PHCP Pros, and it's behind the wall. And it's really just to dig and get into know. You know, I am a philosopher. I like to find out what makes people tick. So we will talk about that. But another initiative, my son also writes for the magazine, that PHC News. Mm-hmm. And he just did an article about how people were displaced in the pandemic. A lot of them lost their jobs or switched jobs. But it didn't have a significant impact on people that moved to the trades. They didn't move to the trades. So what does that tell us? There's a PR problem, man. They don't know these great jobs are there. Whatever we're doing, the image that people have of a drain cleaner, maybe we could give them a more robust picture.
100%.
So another one of our initiatives is to, you know, what is it like to be a service tech and get videos? Like, what do they do? What do they talk about? What's the fun part? What's the hard part? I don't think hard is bad. Why do you run an ultra marathon? Because it's hard. Not because it's easy, right? Like, so there are hard parts of our job, but that's part.
It's what builds the connection points with people.
With the other team members.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The human interest.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, we do service work. So we use cables and jetters to clear drains. But then those drains may need to be replaced. So we call it the install department. And we do pumping now, too, at some of our locations. But those trenches, you know, I went on a ride along with the install crew. First off, there's like $350,000 worth of equipment on the job. Right. You know, so you got to be premium priced and offer premium service. But this like there's.
And not get the truck stolen.
Yeah, and there's procedures for that. Now, you don't, in our franchise model, you don't start with install, but you could move into it, and there's a lot of money to be made and opportunity to be had. But the fellow I rode with, Eric Paolucci, I love Eric, and he loves the trucks, he loves the equipment. And he said, the goal is that we want to dig a trench that looks like a grave and take every precaution so it doesn't become one. How crazy is that? I mean, that hit me like a ton of bricks, because that's what's at stake every day. But when you're in environments like that, our team is literally in the trenches together, and there are some really cool relationships that it's a very cool job. So like, how do we communicate that? So initiatives, we have procedures for that. We have a master projects list per department. We boil it down to the top five, and there's a lot of negotiating to get it. We use steps of delegation and meetings. And my life as an executive is a life of meetings.
Yep.
To just, you know, hopefully energize and yeah, that's what happens. But, you know, that's what's so exciting. If you can get your team to understand the problems, your front line will fix everything. So a lot of our systems are designed to engage the people who know what's wrong and have ideas for how to fix it and let them do it without disappointing and without failing. That's the goal.
Yep. I love it.
I love it. So I think that, you know,
we're 20 minutes after that. We got to wrap up.
You want to know something? They haven't come. They haven't come by yet. I feel like it's so strange. And folks, I hate to wait. I hate to not waste, but I hate to take any more of your time. But, you know,
I'm having a blast. Thank you for inviting me.
We very much appreciate you coming over and visiting our makeshift studio here. And I think that there is, you know, obviously a lot to learn from you. You are very much a student of philosophy. It's certainly not wrong in that. And I think that there's, you know, and we appreciate you coming on. And the last question I have for you before we go, where can people go to learn a little bit more about potentially looking into your brand?
Yes, please. You can see our website is zoomdrain.com. You can click on the franchise opportunities buttons, or you could go straight to zoomdrainfranchise.com.
Wonderful. Well, folks, you heard the woman.
Yeah.
Please make sure to do that if you are interested in diving a little bit more into this industry. And, you know, we really appreciate you coming on, Ellen. Thank you so much.
Oh, I have had so much fun. Thanks, gentlemen.
This is our awesome little outro music.
Bam.
Have a great weekend, folks. Looking forward to bringing you more content next week. We will be in Las Vegas for Monday. So looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody. Cheers.